This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, April 9th, 2009.
Party started.
Good afternoon. It is 4:46 p.m., April 9th, 2009. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Present.
Here. Excuse me.
Present.
Half absent.
Here.
He's here.
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 Here. Shannon is unexcused. Excuse. Half absent. Dow is unexcused. Great. Thank you. Moving on to approval of the minutes from April 2nd, 2009. Are there any motions?
Call for acclamation.
The call for acclamation. There's a second. Any dissent? Minutes have been approved. Open microphone. Anyone in the audience that would like to bring anything to the SA's attention that is not currently on our agenda today, please do so now. All right, all set. Thank you. Moving on to announcements and reports. First announcement, Cornell Concert Commission and Girl Talk announcement. I'm sorry? That was over microphone for anything that is not currently on our agenda today. If it's regarding an item that's on our agenda today, we'll have audience participation, opportunity for participation. We always have copies right at that table right there, but yeah. May I move on, or would you like to? You're all set? Great. Open mic, sure. Hi, Andrew Wang. Good to see you.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say hi, and you guys are still going at it. Like Sean DeLong, I'm still keeping touch with what you guys are doing, and I hear some pretty good stuff. Some other stuff I'm iffy about, but you know what I mean. But good work, and keep going at it, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks so much for coming. Any questions for Andrew, of any sort? No, we're all set. Great. Good to see you. I had a quick Girl Talk CCC announcement. Who was at the Girl Talk concert? If you weren't, you missed out. I just wanted to say, this is an example of one of our Byline funded groups doing an awesome, amazing job. I had so much fun. I was on stage. So I wanted to commend Concert Commission here, but I mean, they're not here, but I want to do it anyway. So, cheers.
It was great.
Moving on. Moving the UA Gorge Safety Campus Code of Conduct report, and it's going to be a discussion. We're moving that to we're moving that to unfinished business at the end of unfinished business. Just bear with me. Remy, 2009-2010 Student Assembly Internals Update.
Yeah, so we decided on all of the committee chairs, well, most of them, and most of the position appointment. I'd also like to announce that the new director of elections will be and I'm resurrecting the position of the executive archivist, which will go to Tony
Bellis. Monday, Tuesday. Also, just a reminder for anyone, I just picked up, well, sorry, any questions for Remy about internals? Question? Nope. Quick announcement, if you haven't picked up your Pataki tickets, do so at the Willow Street Hall box office. There's just plenty available still. Tony, VP
yeah.
Miller, transitions announcement.
So one of the things we want to do better than last year is Nikhil and I are working to do transition work with the new incoming FA members and ourselves. So you probably got my email. There's an Excel file with guys that are replacing you in your committee chairs or liaison shifts or whatever position you might have held, if you could please make the effort to contact the incoming SA member who's going to be filling that position and just kind of reach out and help out, give some advice, describe what the job is, and then try to meet up with them. That'd be really great. Also, we're going to do another, you know, event at the end of the semester, most likely the Saturday after school, if anyone has any serious objections. That seems to work very well last year from what I recall. But please shoot me or Nikhil an email if you have any transition ideas. We really want to do this better than it's done previously.
And I also want to just thank Tony publicly very much for all your help with us. It's been extremely helpful, and I think a great year.
Any questions? Any questions about transition information, anything at all? Okay, good. Any further announcements before we move on to business of the day? Representative Hines. Cool.
Awesome.
Thanks for the follow-up. Any questions for Mike? Okay. Do we know where the where Dean Fry, where the faculty senate or Dean and faculty are in terms of the median grade? Is that that's all settled, right? Okay. So it's all settled. Okay. Thanks again,
Andrew.
Any further announcements or reports? All right. Business of the day. First up, we have Resolution 32, Assembly Support of Polishine Urban Plan and Design Guidelines. Svante Myrick isn't here. City Councilman, myself, and VP Basil. You're 32, right?
Yeah, 32. Tony, do I have to keep the stopwatch?
You have to keep the stopwatch in the list.
The list?
You make a list.
Yeah.
Okay.
This will be fun.
I'm going to keep a list.
Just keep a list of people. Keep your eye on people when they raise their hands.
How long do they get?
So, as you all have been receiving numerous updates and reports on this
college
plan
and
guidelines, the plan that's been hired by Cornell City has together, you all have heard of the political roadblocks that the college planning group and the university, I suppose, are facing at the city level. So basically, I mean, in response, we've been very active in contacting media outlets and going to these meetings, and the last vote was in fact in our favor. We'll keep that up and keep you all in the loop. But myself and Tanya Meyer, who essentially he is the only city council representative on the council, and sort of, you know, has a lot on his shoulders and really important that for us. We thought it would be a good idea to get official institutional support from Cornell. Cornell is a stakeholder. The good friends plan recognizes that 97% of college are students, and so they're the development stakeholder. However, the state council isn't necessarily taking that part as much as we'd like them to. So I'll just read the last be it there for resolve clause. The student assembly, the GPSA, the employee assembly, and the faculty senate and the university assembly urge the city to adopt the college town urban plan and design guidelines and implement the necessary legislation to ensure the appropriate development of college town. We support the big plan and plan. I know Cornell supports the big plan and plan. Of course, they're more sensitive to how they criticize the council because they're always criticizing themselves for being too loud. And then we're going to go to the rest of the assembly and the assembly system to sign on to this. So, yeah, that's it. So, if anyone has any questions, I think it's straightforward.
Okay, Representative Sale.
I'd like to call the question after Alan Miller.
I have a couple questions first. Okay. My first question. So you have the other, what are the other bodies? Have they moved on this yet? Do they have
No, we've decided for the UAB next Wednesday,
I'm on the calendar for the employee assembly. We've already brought this new business to the GBSA. No one else voted on to it, but I mean, that's a good point to clarify. I think you should know that when you're voting on this, that be it there for a stop clause. I mean, it's going to be whoever else signs on to it. So it's just the GBSA employee assembly. That's what it will be. But that's okay with everyone, if that makes sense. We want everyone on it, and there's no reason in my mind that everyone will sign on to it, but
And secondly, having this, like, this goes to the president, obviously, and all the higher-ups. Do you think once we make this formal, they'll be able to help us, you know, exert any clout? I don't really know if this is more for Savante or...
I mean, it's mainly John Gutenberg, who's the VP for Government Community Relations. He's the one that goes to the agency. He's the one that, you know, if the city council does look for a Cornell answer, a Cornell response, it'll look to him. And so this will provide more leverage for him. It's just more formal and specified on behalf of the university. And yes, maybe perhaps President Thornton, who hasn't been too involved with this issue, maybe will be a little more involved in how this entire government system is defined.
Great. Representative Latella.
All right. The chair currently, Miller, is wanting me to speak, but I am against this for various reasons, including that I'm going to speak it out. I mean, I know I'm not going to change the university's mind, and I'm probably one of the only people that is against this plan. But for one, this is not a comprehensive plan as it claims to be. It is a real estate development plan, and I will guarantee that a building will be built. We'll all be excited that, you know, they're going to move on it, but it will not lower housing prices, and it will also not improve parking costs that are off campus and college campus. That's all I have.
I mean, maybe you respond to that?
Sure.
I don't think that represents majority of student sentiment. However, I mean, where is that all coming from? Because I know Tony's been very involved in this process. This is a third-party consulting firm that does their research and analysis and treats all stakeholders in an equitable fashion. You know, even through the process, city council now, you know, actually on. All those issues are addressed, and then all stakeholders are competitive in an equitable way. Why do you think that?
Well, I will give you an extra minute to go ahead and...
Okay. The issues that they, that the plan says that they are addressing from the residents that do live in the Bell Sherman neighborhood, it's reflected in the plan that they're not addressing their concerns. For example, for parking, parking is, you know, one of the things is they want to add more parking up the street and improve congestion. There, as of right now, for a lot of the city planners that I've talked to in the city and regional planning department tell me that there is no congestion problem that they can see in College Town as of right now. Additionally, the state of most of the buildings in College Town are not being addressed. There's no provision for enforcement of zoning codes as well as enforcement of fixing buildings within College Town. So I do believe that that is a problem, and I think that there needs to be a plan. There absolutely needs to be a plan, but I just don't think this is the best plan.
Okay. I mean, those provisions are in our plan, but the zoning provisions and the safety provisions, as we are going to say, it's all in the plan.
And I've read over it, but I do not see that one. It's actually going to take effect. So,
Representative Rapp.
Just like another perspective on this whole thing, going against what you just said, the university is accepting more and more students every year. Prices in College Town are just going to go up and up and up. So we need more housing there, so that will, maybe the prices will go up just because of the number of people. We can't really stop that, but the fact that we can build more and more people have the opportunity to move off campus, which is obviously a growing sentiment among older people here. I think it makes sense for it to keep on growing, since it's also another center of our college experience. So, I don't know. So, call the question.
There's been a call to question. Okay, well, then we'll go to a vote. Is there any other motions? Do the speakers want to wrap it up?
Yes. Yeah, I guess I think I should assume that I want to look at the plan. At least I think I should understand. The plan promotes density and development for college town. And those who get the plan and don't want
motion.
Density and development for college, they want to have that savings of whatever the expense of a small town is paying, not having to go out and plan on feeling. That's just, you know, ignorant and wrong and not thinking long term. And so, really, this plan promotes development, density, and college now wants to make the top part of college ag. That development there, spread to the rest of College Ave and drive it. And that's really the fundamentals behind the plan. But that's why it's my university support, that's why almost all students support it, and that's why I think we need to make our support strong.
Motion for a hand vote?
There's been a motion for a hand vote. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll go to a hand vote. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Those against. Those in abstention. By a vote of 15-0-1, this resolution passes.
Well, Tony, you got the spotlight for a few minutes.
That was.
And that's why Tony will never be chair.
Right. What order does librarian fall in?
All right. Everyone. Okay. Moving on to unfinished business. First up, we have Resolution 30 calling for reinstatement of an optional transfer programming house by Representative Brockman and other sponsors who, if you wouldn't mind, please repeat your name and year for the record.
Jared Thomas, sophomore. Paul Ryerson, senior.
Thank you.
Just a question. What exactly is for the audience?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. We'll do every... Oh, my RA's here. I'm my former RA. Hi, Kim. Every
two.
Excuse me, sorry. Every three. So, SA representative, community member. SA representative, SA community member. All right? That's what it is, yeah. So Scott will be out in the audience. Yeah. Scott will form a line to the right over there. Well, you will all form a line if you'd like to speak. If I feel like I need to change that throughout discussion, I will. So you have 2 minutes to open up or make any clarifications to any changes that you, as sponsor of the resolution, want to make before
right.
we begin.
Okay, so I'll start with the change. If you, first of all, we put that in to be there for resolve policy, the first two, because despite BP's Naval's amendment, we felt that second thought that those two clauses should be there for resolve, that the student assembly should be saying those two things. And the real big change is you guys asked for, well, many of you asked for intermediate steps, so we added be it there for resolve clause states that the student assembly recommend that campus life take the intermediate step of designating the Skyler House as a transfer center for next year, with all the support staff and programming necessary to ensure that the transfers living in College Town can experience a smooth transition to Cornell. The reason for this is because after speaking with Joe Burr, we have found that 110 transfer students will be placed in Skyler House anyway, and while it's not the most ideal place to live, we feel that if we do designate that as the transfer center, and we do recommend that Campus Life provide the support necessary to hold the transfer center, then in future years we have a better vantage point. And I'll let Jack go and talk.
I just wanted to address something that Representative Stein brought up in the last meeting. She was concerned about the possible displacement of trying to make more students to the upper classroom as a result of the building up of the transfers. With the financial decision to admit 100 extra freshmen, we could be facing many, a plethora of housing adjustments for next year across campus. And the pace of on-campus living can be very, very different as you see with Skyler, which is pretty much off-campus.
admission in light of the possibility of the program happening right now. We simply do not know what could open up. And as Representative Boston pointed out in the last meeting, the transfer center was the only program we have in several basements, so transfers have been known to fill beds. And with so much demand, these transfers would be ideal for any opening.
And then I would also just like to address one of the concerns that was brought up last week. First of all, I'd just like to say that even though Andrew here represents the transfer students, every single one of you represents transfer students, whether you represent the Greek community, on-campus housing, or any other organization or college, you represent transfer students. Transfer students are your constituents. And your constituents here have spoken loud and clear that they need a transfer center to ensure a smooth transition. And last week, one of your representatives said that if the SA couldn't follow through with the resolution, that it would undermine the credibility of your organization. And I couldn't possibly disagree with you more. The only thing that undermines the credibility of your organization is when you say no when a constituency is saying yes. When you turn your back on the people that you're supposed to be representing. So
15 seconds.
Today, I just want to encourage you guys to do the right thing not only for the SA and for transfer students, but for this whole community.
Okay. Thank you. First up on this previous list, Representative Salem.
Yeah. I understand where Chris is coming from when he, you know, recommended for the first to be the four resolved clauses to be changed into whereas clauses, just because in the past, these therefore resolved clauses have been reserved primarily for, like, you know, like action statements, you know. Like, so the first one, that the program house, transfer program house is essential to the quality of transfer students, that's an opinion, right? I mean, yeah, never mind the fact that I agree with this opinion, it's still an opinion nonetheless. I think that we're still going to be saying this because it's still going to be in the whereas clauses, but these therefore resolve that we actually, you know, do something. So the second one, that it will give transfer students, that's right, it will, but these therefore resolve that, you know, the student assembly recommends, that's a good one, the student assembly recommends again for the second one. And, you know, this resolution before, but I think, you know, that's where the therefore resolved clause should. Again, you know, this is pretty trivial in my opinion, but, you know, just because of, like, this is how it's been done in the past, I guess I would, you know, encourage you to reconsider it. And so, I guess I'd motion for it to be changed. The first to be therefore resolved clause. Be therefore be further resolved clause.
Okay, so there's a motion to amend the resolution on the back of that sheet, the first two, be it therefore resolved clauses, to change them to whereas clauses, like those.
The reason, yeah, at first I assumed what you assumed, that it was some trivial, and that's why right away I agreed to Vice President Basil's amendment. After further consideration and looking at it, I figure supporting that the transfer program announcement is essential to the quality of transfer students in the first year of experience, that is an action. The support is an action. And I feel that, you know, while we could just put those further up and accept those as just truths, I think that to put it in a be it therefore resolved clause says that the student assembly supports this. And in my opinion, that's an action.
So there was a motion, and you found it on the front. So now, I'm opening the speakers list on the amendment. Is everyone clear what the amendment is?
Yeah.
Okay, great. New speakers list, VP Mezzi.
My personal opinion, I don't really care if it's whereas or be it therefore resolved.
Right.
I think we should talk about the merits of the resolution, not the specific little details that are just going to waste our time. Clearly, there's enough students that should feel it is essential. I think there's enough assembly members that feel that it is essential. And I think by making it a be it therefore resolved, it's no longer opinion, but we're saying that it is something that the SA feels very strongly about, that we do feel it is essential to transfers. So to go back and forth to say should it be a whereas or be it therefore resolved, let's just get the resolution done. Let's just start legislating and stop worrying about the little minute details of things we're going to vote on anyways. So I would say call the question, but
second.
Remove your motion first.
So the call to question on the amendment is
second.
Any dissent? The motion to amend has been withdrawn. Back to the original speakers list, VP Miller.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. It is, it grammatically sounds awful, but whatever.
This is much better than last year. Great job. And the third be it resolved and the fourth be it resolved, further resolved. I would say maybe we need a bit stronger language than recommend. I would suggest something like urge, you know. It's quite important. Would you feel friendly to changing it to urge?
I would definitely feel friendly.
Then I amend that it says urges for both instead of recommend.
There's been a motion to amend the second to last be it further resolved clause from... Or both of those.
Both of them. Both should be from recommends to urges.
So the motion is to amend the second to last and third to last, be it further resolved clauses, to say that the student assembly urges that campus life, and then be it further resolved that the student assembly urges that the administration. Do the sponsors find it friendly? Okay, moving on. Community member. Great. Please state your name and year for the record.
My name is Sean Marble. I'm a sophomore in transfer. I'd like to first thank the assembly for listening to me today, and I'm going to try not to take up too much of your time. I really just wanted to talk on this resolution about the importance of praising the assembly and encouraging the assembly going forward to try and incorporate as much of the actual transfer voice as they can. You know, it's great that these guys here, I'm sure a lot of what you've been doing is trying to listen to what some of the transfers have to say. I think one thing that is hard to understand possibly as an assembly member is that this experience is so unique to someone, and as much as we can speak on the emotion, the difficulties, the experience, and the transfer to go through, it really is not something that can be fully understood without having gotten an experience. So in terms of taking that forward, where I really want to address the assembly and make my recommendation is the importance of having something fully established, both with title as a transfer center, and as a body to develop in the future. Because, one thing, despite all my arguments why living up on North Campus was pretty terrible and the difficulties in the student, even coming into the process as a transfer, applying to the school, being accepted, there really isn't much in terms of housing and security, knowing as a transfer, where am I going to be living? I pretty much had the choice between any building on West Campus or building on North Campus. And when it came down to the reality, I was just placed on North Campus not knowing, well, is that where most of the transfers live? Are most of them on West Campus? I didn't even have any knowledge of how the system really worked.
30 seconds.
So what I proposed is by having a transfer center, how at least incoming transfers know that where I'll be living is with other transfers. There'll be mechanisms for me to assimilate to the school and meet other transfers. I think that that's something that's currently lacking, even just because of the lack of development in the program. That's something that transfers need, because we're lacking even any vision and any knowledge of how we would be able to assimilate and become an active member of Cornell without a program currently in place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean. Representative Kumar.
So much of the best resolutions for the student assembly this entire year. You guys have a phenomenal process, including all the members in the constituency, also the committee process, involving the student assembly from the very beginning. You came up with a good long-term solution of establishing a transfer program and having a long-term. You listened to our suggestions and concerns from last week. You amended to include a solid short-term program. Working with the campus life and then against them, and then we're not involved in the entire process. My one suggestion is, please move forward in a charter amendment to maybe see your transfer to the entire community very soon. Because I think it takes 2 weeks something for a charter amendment. So just take a look at that. But this is one of the best presentations in the world. It's going to be great work and that calls for us.
Dissent and call to question. Second, is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, I'll give the sponsors of the resolution 1 minute for closing statements.
I'd like to thank you, Representative Kumar, and rest assured the 24 transfer affairs will be in the student assembly committee before I leave. And for this program, I urge you to listen to your constituents, to vote your conscience, and to realize that you may not understand what it is to be a transfer, but you got to understand that it's like being a freshman, except you're not on North Campus surrounded by people like yourself. You're actually isolated from other transfers, and I think that if we pass this resolution, we are telling the administration that there's a need, that there's an urgency, and this is what we're here for.
Thank you.
Okay, great. And then I'll allow 3 1-minute time clocks for 3 community members. We'll make it 4.
Hi everyone, I'm Andrew in class of 08. I just wanted to commend you guys for a quick thing. I understood, like, I saw one of my so one of here before it was one of the buildings on the campus, and now it's like I don't know what it is now, but my perspective is that I think it's good to create a safe environment for transfers. However, I disagree with having one established, because I think that you guys are no longer freshmen, that yes, you are starting to be a first-year student. However, I do disagree, like,
no.
What are you going to do with students that don't get into the transfer? Like, are you going to throw the rest? Like, is there going to be a luck of the draw who gets to live in the transfer center among the first-time transfer students? So, that's why I have an issue with this concept, because you can't guarantee all the transfer students be able to live in this building. So, it's unfair to the rest of the entire community that would like to live.
So, the discussion debate had done it. It's just a chance for community members to voice their opinion before we go to a vote. So, the next one.
I love transfers too.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Lower, senior. I'm actually a resident district advisor on West Campus, and last year I was on the campus, and before that I was on the program office. And having worked with various groups of students and various demographics of students, I can say that not being transfer myself, transfer students definitely have unique needs that an RA, I thought I wasn't able to. I'm not a transfer student. So I was actually relying on members of my staff who were transfer students to kind of give me guidance on what to do. And transfer students, they are not freshmen, they are not of our classmates yet, or returning students. So if they have a unique community, they need to be met with a community that is able to support them. So I definitely support the decision, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you just state your name and year for the record?
Yeah.
And who was the best resident when you were? One more community member.
Basically say that I think that prospective students looking at Cornell are going to feel the same way I did.
Thank you very much. Okay, that concludes our all of our discussion. Will the clerk please call the roll on resolution 30?
Yes.
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 Yes. Sign proxies yes. Diet code proxies no.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, everyone who contributed. Okay, moving on to Resolution 31, granting voting rights to liaisons, sponsored by Representative Salem, Liaison Miller, and Liaison Tata.
Number 4.
Apparently the office not see my email 5 minutes later saying, oh, this is the corrected version.
This isn't the corrected version?
No, this is the one that says Nikhil is the sponsor.
Oh. So just to correct on the Kumar. Where's Kumar?
Look.
He's
there.
You're not a sponsor of this. Okay. Okay, you, gentlemen, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. I guess I just sort of like to start off by saying that I do hope we can kind of keep the motion this time and really focus on the resolution as it is. First thing on the resolution that I'd like to actually make an amendment to. Where it reads in bylaw 3.3a and 3.3b, add a sentence to the end of both of them that says, in addition, the respective members will not be able to vote on bylaw funding. I know I took this out, or I know I had it there, but then we took it out. We're completely fascinated because we realize that the MGLTs are actually funded by the SAFC, so we don't want to.
So just to clarify, at the end of bylaw 3.3a and 3.3b, in addition, the respective members will not be able to vote on violent funding legislation.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you all set for your
amendment?
Oh, the amendment? No, you're the sponsor, so you can change it however you want. There's no discussion. We don't.
Okay.
Know.
Okay. I guess then. Yeah, I just like to begin with, we have to really sort of question why exactly there are liaisons in the first place. I think whoever came up with this assembly charter realized that the Greek community and the residential community are both very large and very important in some campus. So they were given liaison positions. I do believe that at this point it's necessary to extend voting rights to those just to sort of show that these two positions on campus are these two communities on campus are large enough and important enough to be able to vote and support the SA and have a voice on the SA. We already know the numbers, 50% for the RC, 35% of people on campus are Greek. We also know that in both cases, the person who's chosen to be on the as liaison is
one minute.
Accountable to their constituents. There are certain situations that arise, such as undergraduate housing differentials, transfers to housing that the RSC liaison, the Greek liaison, would like to show our support by, but we can't right now, so we don't have a vote, and we can't vote our opinion. Other things, we know that the multiple representation on the SA already does exist, so if that's a concern, there is a precedent for multiple representation. I'd like to sort of think.
30 seconds.
So I just also want to discuss why we're pursuing this route as to other than having direct election of the RSC, but we've been in the position. And we just want to discuss that said, we do not like our reporting patients coming back toward the student assembly, nor would we like a direct benefit from Hayhawk to be ultimately committed to the way these organizations run and the way these communities run, but rather to make sure that we have one individual who are committed to the current government of the organization, and two who are able to express it through our application and petition and prepare in a manner that does benefit the community while we're pursuing this in this manner. And I do urge you to listen to our arguments and try to understand the point of view from which we are articulating that.
That's time. So opening up the speakers list, first we have Parliamentarian Purdy.
Alright, I'm sorry to everyone who was here last week and hasn't had to hear me again, but I can kind of understand, Randy, I know you have been talking about plans to give voting rights to anyone who comes based on, you know, coming to meetings or whatever. And I just want to say, I think, while I don't support that, I think that makes a lot more sense in this resolution. And here's why. It was touched on briefly when you guys were talking, and it's multiple representation. When you take 23 people that you're going to have vote, and you worry because all the people in ILR are running, and so it's all people in ILR and no one in engineering wins. So what do? You designate certain spots to be engineering spots. And to be fair to everyone, you designate an ILR spots for the other colleges. That's just how it works. To go and allocate like a minority spot without allocating 9 non-minority spots, it doesn't make sense. I think if anything, we should be working to fix that. And I think that, like I said before, giving a voting right to a specific constituency without matching the complement of that constituency just doesn't make sense.
I'll give you guys a minute to respond.
So what would be the complement
of the non-Greek?
We believe that the RSC and the Greek communities sort of complement each other.
Okay, moving on. We have Representative Raps.
You'll have an opportunity to respond to it. VP Miller. So to piggyback off what Natalie said, it's not that maybe there are some years where running for ISD was actually more difficult than that guy. I don't remember playing with my roommate when he was running for ISD, and it was daunting. I think even daunting, more daunting than my experience running for SA. So it's not about the fact that they're one may be harder, one may not. It's that they're different. We have a criteria that we set for ourselves, and it's the rules we all abide by. It just matter of fact that you do not go through the same process. It might be a more difficult process, it might be an easier process. It really doesn't matter, but it's not the process that the student assembly has said this is the official way to get to be a part of the student governance system here. Now I want to look at you've already made a concession to not vote for byline funding. Where's the next concession? I mean, does that mean you're only half a member? I mean, really? I'm part of the orientation theory. I'm on the West. Should I not be able to vote for OSC? I mean, you're already making compromises here that sacrifice the legitimacy of your voting membership position if this were to pass, because you are liaisons and you do a great job at that. But if we could look at the definition of liaison, and Natalie said it very well, you report back to your constituency what we've done, and then bring your community's input to us. And I feel that's a value, it's a value you guys certainly have. I understand, that you guys are elected. I completely respect that. It's just a different process, and maybe we should be looking to integrate your election or an election from your constituency into our broader membership, and that's something we can certainly entertain down the road. And I think maybe that's what talk might go into further.
30 seconds.
Yeah. So if I don't know, why reasons, certain culture of exclusivity. I think if anything, we should be more inclusive and a lot more people participate in the election process. Second of all, for your point about opening it up, originally, Mike was one of my figures, it was a great point, but at Sanjeev's figure, and I think it was even more about when you find these positions to be just like a back doorway to sharing our consumer acceptance. These people, put in as much as not more time into their respective organizations, and he knows more about Greek life than I will ever know. Sanjeev knows more about, residentialism than I have, and I think that their opinions should be respected, they should have a say, especially in resolutions pertaining to, housing, scale prices or whatever, who more qualified than the president of the resolution to the conference should have
time. A person voted time on by the entire student body.
VP Mezzi.
That's who.
A couple things. I was a Greek liaison at one time before I was elected, and I definitely understand the desire to have a vote, because it's kind of painful to sit there and listen and only voice your opinion but not be able to, do anything action-oriented about that. Are Greeks underrepresented? I mean, there's 13 Greeks sitting around this table that are voting members. So I do think that people always vote with their constituency groups that they represent, regardless of title or not, in mind. I would say that. A better way, I think, to approach this would be if you want, just like we have minority or international or LGBTQ, is have an undergraduate seat and designate it for Greeks. Because that does represent 3,500 students on campus. I think that's a better way to go out about it. I do not support, though, giving liaisons voting rights because of the way that liaisons are appointed. When I became a liaison, I saw what a mess it was trying to coordinate between the three councils, who's going to serve, and it basically comes down to who's free on Thursdays? And that's really kind of how it gets a liaison is appointed. It's the same thing that happens with our internal elections. It's who wants to liaise to this group? Who has free time on this time? And we appoint them. So I don't think they should have voting rights. I completely 100% do not support this resolution. I support the intent behind it, but what I would like to see is create an undergraduate at-large position that the Greek representatives that only Greeks can vote for. But I think to give liaisons voting rights is absolutely not within what we should be doing. And I think it is something that should be popularly elected by everyone, not just by a couple of presidents sitting in a room saying, who would be best to voice the Greek opinion? I do think, though, you do have an opportunity as liaisons to voice your concerns and know and trust, and hopefully you can be convincing enough so that all the members sitting around the room who probably live in residence halls on campus or who probably are part of a Greek letter organization will vote with that opinion, with that idea in mind, that those two groups do represent such a large constituency group or based on campus. So that's why I would say I don't support this at all.
Director McDermott. Sorry, 1 minute.
Sure, yeah. So, like you said before, a bunch of presidents sit around the table and you better decide on the VP or something. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case, but let's do with this, okay? They were popularly elected. The people who elected them with the knowledge that they'd be able to make the best decision, just as, you know, you all are elected in the system that you would be able to make the best decision. That's just how their process works. And the reason I wanted to go back to Tony, to the point Tony made before about having white line funding not allowed to be voted on like other things. We did that out of our own, you know, personal interest, so that there isn't, you know, a conflict of interest.
30 seconds.
Yeah, so we assume that, you know, we would abstain from voting if, you know, OSU or MSU arrives, and just to ensure that, you know, someone with low morals or something, you know, doesn't decide to do the same, we just decided to make the petition. 15 seconds.
I think at the end of the day it comes down to why do we have a certain election process? Why do we do something a certain way? It's to produce the best representative for our constituency group. And the way the RC and the previous system does it right now is what's best for their representation on the SA. And I think to have a direct election would completely change that entirely.
Point of inquiry. Your point of information. They're the same thing, by the way.
Is it not true that only 41 chapter presidents or chapter representatives sit around and popularly elect? It's not a popular election of everyone in the Greek system. It is only a representative from a chapter voting or voicing a chapter's representative. So basically there's only 71 people who vote for the leadership of the IFC, Panhellenic, and MGLC organizations.
That's right. Who voted on who those 41 representatives are?
That I do not
Okay, hold on. This point of information is just directed to the chair. Right. IFC elections, each chapter has one vote, and that individual, usually the chapter president, votes for the executive board members. So to make it relative to student body election, it is not where every Greek member, for example, has the opportunity to cast a ballot. It is their chapter president. However you interpret that, whether that's popular election for you, that's up to you.
Point of inquiry.
From your knowledge, how are chapter presidents chosen?
How are chapter presidents chosen? They're elected, but I can speak on behalf of ISU chapters. They're most of the time, they're elected by their chapter members.
I have a point of inquiry.
Yes.
In Panhellenic houses.
I have a point of information just briefly about what they've done. Because I don't want this to be kind of. Explicitly done so that the president and vice president can see that the aim is not on some schedule, but rather that someone has a large amount of experience with residential staff and with residential programs. So
I'm not even going to find the point of information.
To the student assembly.
One of inquiry.
In Panhellenic houses and Panhellenic association, do they not use a slating process?
By chapter,
it does vary, correct?
It varies by chapter, but for executive board elections, there's a slating process, but then also a voting process. So it's still at the end, it's still the same as IFC exec board. There's still have to be voted on, but there is a slating recommendation made by the outgoing members of their executive board. And that's the point of inquiry, and no one else has to speak to those. I've already been lenient. Director McDermott.
All right, I'm going to try to get this. I have gone through our charter and found numerous issues with this resolution to our charter. First thing I want to point out is this is a very delicate issue. The Charter Review Committee spoke on the fact that they did not want to get into talking about adding more people to the Student Assembly. The Election Committee, internally and in front of the entire SA, has said the discussion about adding more voting members to the SA is something that really must be thought out. I don't think two SA meetings is enough for us to truly decide the ability to vote. That aside, my first issue is the need for the resolution. It's never really been stated the need for the students. Why do students need more representation here? Instead, it's just that they're from a big population and that there's this process which is similar to the process of the student assembly. So one thing is, rather than allowing another Puerto Rico or U.S. Virgin Island congressman to our student assembly, we should leave it at the liaison level. But to the charter issue, the first is where do we stop the limit? Bylaw 117A and B say that members of the student assembly are liaisons to the top offices of the assembly. Should someone that's been elected differently have the same power? There's a bunch more, 117C, 3.4, 3.5, and 6.4, all extend more members to the elected members of the student assembly. A parallel issue is the fact that You are going to have to outline in the charter how these elections occur. But my biggest issue is bylaw 3.11c. Representatives on the student assembly shall be elected by a plurality voting system. Voters will count one vote per available seat. The operations of elections will be pursuant to the undergraduate election rules revised as needed by the student assembly and in consultation by the director of elections. It is important that we can guarantee that anyone that votes on this student assembly follows this part of the chapter. Sadly, RSC, ISC, CanHal, and NGLP do not follow rules to this extent. The one other thing is that the indirect election logic disappears at the fact that bylaw 3.1 paragraph 3A, one member chosen by the ISC,
time. I'll accept that and extend by a minute and a half.
Goes on to say that the representation will be based on a rotating basis of IFC, then CanHal, then MGLC. There is not, for the final stage of who's sitting in the chair here at the student assembly meeting, any elected part. It's just processed in our charter that this is your month, or this is your halftime of the year, which goes against another bylaw, bylaw 3.2, all elected members are elected, and this is not elected representatives, this is elected members that would fall for whatever the RSC or Greek member would become, are elected for a full one academic year. So that means MGLC would have a full year, CanHal would have a full year, and IFC would have a full year, and that's how it would have to be to remain in conjunction with our charter. Finally, one discrepancy with the proposed charter, which hopefully will be voted on eventually, is the Charter Review Committee has taken the executive out of the RSC definition of the RSC liaison. The SA no longer thinks that it has to be an executive. It can be anyone from the RSC. So, you know, it's a charter change by the student assembly, which hasn't been voted on, but has been proposed to eventually be voted on. The executive has been removed from the line. So the final couple things I want to say is this backdoor question isn't an issue. We do have the ability with our technology within the registrar's office and on campus to say that if we wanted to expand the SA for two more members, the constituency of those that live in built resident hall buildings can be selected to vote, and those that are Greek can be selected to vote. We can limit the voting to those constituencies.
15 seconds.
And we are allowed to say that candidates must be from the constituencies. Therefore, there's no lack of logic to a resolution of having two full members of the SA elected at large, and it completely contradicts the backdoor threat which is being stated.
Time.
In reality, there isn't a backdoor threat.
Representative Hines. It's really supposed to be responsible to me on their time. I'll grant a minute here and there. Yeah. Hines. Been a call to question. There's a second. Any dissent? Dissent. 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
Something that was brought up was the idea of proposing an alternate, I guess, voting procedure, and so I had the opportunity to voice some issues, perhaps with the idea in general that when people go on, they do whatever they want to do, and outside the assembly, they can hear and have these thoughts and opinions.
All right, we're now going to vote to vote. We need 2/3 majority. All in favor of calling to question and voting on a resolution, please raise your hand now. Nice and high. All opposed? What did you get? 11-3. What's 2? How many? Hold on.
There were abstentions.
17. Any abstentions?
Yep.
1. What's 11 divided by 17?
12.
You can push
12.
No, the motion fails. Moving on to the next person on the speaker's list, Representative Andrews.
Can we make a motion?
No, we'll have to. I can put you in the speaker's list. You as a representative.
Okay, grab my time.
Yielded 2 minutes.
Yeah.
First of all, I guess I'd like to apologize again. We didn't, you know, see all the implications, you know, as Mike, you know, pointed out, you know, all the changes that we've had to make. So we're going to go ahead and take all this resolution.
Okay, the resolution has been tabled indefinitely. That's it. Moving on. Continuing unfinished business. UA Gorge Safety Campus Code of Conduct Report and Discussion. Raps, Craig, Basil, whoever. Okay.
No, it's broken. Okay, where did Kate go?
Okay, you guys have 5 minutes to recap and everything.
Sir?
We don't necessarily need them.
Great, thank you. And can you just clarify, this is going to be on the UA's table on Wednesday?
Yeah.
What time and place?
Meetings are held at 3:15 Day Hall. I can send out an email specifically to check and see if there's going to be a change. Oh, there may actually change the room because I told them we may be anticipating a lot of
information. Okay. Send an email with time, location, and everyone. I encourage it. Kate, did you want to add anything? I know you weren't in the room. Or you can wait until we go along with the speaker's list. We're going to go on the speaker's list. And Kate, if you ever want to speak on anything, just let me know and I'll put you on. Quickly, I'd like to make one first comment. We have a speaker's list. So I was at these Gorge Safety meetings, Joint City Cornell Safety meetings. Ace has been there, I've been there, others have been there. I think I was one of the students who initially recommended or made the observation to these city officials and Cornell and CU Police that, you know, there really is zero sense of enforcement in these gorges. I hang out in the gorges quite a bit in the last two summers, and, you know, it's a really nice spring break scene, you know, it's a college scene, people jumping off of high rocks and whatever, you know. And so I let them know, you know, there really is no sense of enforcement at all. And while I do not think at all that there should be excessive enforcement, i.e. noise ordinance violations, I think if there's at least some sense of, hey, the authorities are around and making sure that egregious behavior shouldn't be going on, I think that would encourage students to be more safety conscious in the gorges, specifically those areas that are recognized as high danger areas. So being that I was one of the students who initially recommended this, this is not at all what I had in mind for how the discussions progress. I mean, if city police were JA-ing and ticketing everyone, I guess it would be JA-ing, everyone that they saw in the gorges, I mean, that is not at all what the history behind this idea was. It really was to have some enforcement in the sense that if they see, students intoxicated jumping off of rocks or ledges, especially in areas where there historically have been deaths, those are areas where enforcement might be appropriate, not seeing students with their feet in the water, bathing. So clearly either there was miscommunication or they just took this too far, but that's my opinion. I'll be there on Wednesday. First on the speaker's list is Representative Andrews.
Yeah, I mean, I thought also there's an enforcement issue with who should be doing the enforcement. Is it Cornell that's going to be doing the enforcement? Is the police going to be doing the enforcement? Also, I mean, that'll just be looked at. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if the student is going to be GA? Is it going to be a city ticket or whatnot? Also, I feel like this resolution is kind of jumping the gun. And then, even in the whereas clause, it says there are no waters which are designated as basic bathing. So I think that before we can pass something like this, there has to be a designated area for swimming. Especially because we talked about the Cornell tradition and bathing in gorges. And so if we're going to be serious about allowing kids, or telling kids you can't do this, but provide students with an alternative where they can bathe, where they can enjoy the, Cornell tradition term.
Yeah, specifically the first part.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely we need to work on designation of the gorges, but I think the issue that all of us heard, or even Ryan can talk about from looking at these cities, is that the university really did not want to designate anything, so that there was no necessary responsibility in terms of, and the fact that they really don't know. So I think what you said as to we need to figure out what's going on before we take all options.
And then to answer your first question, chime in, who's going to enforce?
Who's going to enforce it?
So it's city. The gorges are not Cornell owned. They're part of the city of Ithaca. No, excuse me. So this is the crazy, confusing part. The water is the state. The land beneath the water and around it is the city. And then everything else is Cornell. It's crazy. So the city has never enforced because of those reasons and because they don't have the manpower. They will not send Ithaca police officers around the gorges to enforce. And they've made that clear. And Cornell's campus code of conduct now can, you can JA someone, the university can JA someone because of an off-campus incident. So that is an option. So I don't know if that's clear.
So
it would be CU police.
So
it
would be CU police.
Yes.
So then, I think there's like a lot of open questions, no open, like unanswered issues. So my two cents would be that it'd be poorly received by the students, I think. And then if it has no actual bearing of what happens and has no origin policy to it, then what's the point of passing something that will anger the students and that won't actually come to something?
Okay, moving on. VP Miller.
So yeah, Ryan and Vincent brought up some great points. And again, this is with Ryan, because this kind of went from one end to from no enforcement to the extreme opposite end, where if you just step your foot in the water, you're going to get the same punishment as if you jump in the water. And clearly those are two different things. So and aside from delineating who is going to be enforcing, we also need to look at maybe the different degrees of punishment. It shouldn't be a problem if you go swimming in BB Lake, and that's not a big deal, People do that all the time. It's relatively safe. There should be designation of safe areas. There should be designation of, you know, what punishment should be given to certain, you know, worse violations. It's clearly more detriment, you know, possibility if you jump off a high rock than if you step your foot into the water. It's two very different things. So we need to look at, you know, different ranges of punishment. And again, clear up who's enforcing this. You know, they can't get it together then. I hope they get it together by Wednesday.
And then also, sorry, I know I'm talking a lot, but I can. I'm chair. You know, what they'll say and what they have said is, you know, this is in place, but actual practice, enforcement, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't ticket someone or jay someone if they're bathing. You know, it would most likely be for egregious behavior. But the question is, you know, are we okay with that? Or, you know, are we okay with just having it on based on good faith? And if you can prevent... Whatever, you get what I'm saying. That's what the response will most likely be. Well, enforcement will be different. This is just giving theoretical capability. Representative, Director McDermott.
So, my sentiments have already kind of been expressed, but the main thing is the resolution is to prohibit swimming in the gorges, and then K is the whole swimming and bathing thing. And coming from a waterfront job, that's what I do all summer, is direct a waterfront. Legally and rules-wise, very different. And so really needs to be looked at, what do we mean by bathing? If I cross the gorge anywhere, if I cross the stream anywhere because I'm running and I'm shin deep in water, is that bathing? You know, what does that mean? When can I get ticketed and when can I get ticketed? These have to be made clear. So my main concern is the resolution is to prohibit swimming, which I think in a dangerous area should be prohibited, but then what is not being allowed is swimming and bathing. And I don't 100% know what they mean by both of them.
Minute.
I mean, a quick thought is that if something is water prepared, the response is going to be coming from the school and or individually from workers and colleagues that you really don't want people on the side to slip. So, I mean, just thinking of that, there are answers to that sort of question.
You know, perfect. Thirty seconds.
Yep. As you guys brought up many of the controversial points, the main point against it is how we'll be enforced. We have the manpower to enforce it, but the other side is the legal liability of the university. The fact that we've already legal for the city of Ithaca, so the do you need to go from the mindset that we should keep our own problems in house. And then as a side note for undergraduates, which is keep in mind that it's related to undergraduates out of all members of the JC, only one of the FA members has shown up this year. I don't know if your three WA members are only one of them. And as my remote folks are three different between the actual theory, when we spoke at the JC meetings, we talked about how even though it's got another responsibility of being in the gorges right now and they are committed, but DUPD is undermined that they, if it's illegal, then they will turn to it. So I think that's a very fuzzy line that needs to be identified before the bill goes through. But finally, going on what I just said about the lack of undergraduates on TJC tomorrow, we will actually have more of a presence at the UAB.
Thank you. Representative Octavio, Octavio.
Sandoval.
I like the first name a lot. Okay. Hines.
The theory behind it was walking in the gorge. They brought up the point that we get to clarify this. Is walking the same as swimming? But so we brought in the person who, from the city of Michigan, who pulled out the person's body. They talked about how he was, there's different theories on to how the individual died, which I'm not going to say which one was the right one, but it was hypothesized that he was just standing there and he didn't slip. So according to the theory behind this resolution would be, once you enter the water, you would be penalized, but until that point, if there is one on the session, you're not.
So they don't currently have
intent
to close access?
No, no intent to close access. They try to close access when the bill was in place in the fall, and people just kept it in the fence. And so that's the first issue of enforceability.
see Basil.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of people touched on this, but I guess I wanted to just bring it up really quick, too, Usa. Again, I think that what I personally want to see is a delineation between, for example, Beeb Lake and the gorge behind Fiji again, which is, you know, the more dangerous parts. So, you know, I think that, I guess as Ryan touched on, the sentiment is correct, and that we do want to express that, you know, there is a police presence, and that we want to discourage dangerous behavior. But, you know, the fact that there are definitely different degrees, different gradients of bad behavior, and that's not reflected right here in these changes.
VP Mezzi.
And kind of looking at this and after listening to the conversation, it just kind of clicked to me that these are like IFC event management guidelines. They exist, but are they really followed inside chapter houses? Not really. I think it's definitely a smart move for it to be on paper for the university. The university is protecting their liability. They're protecting any future lawsuits or anything on their behalf. And I think that they're looking out for the best interests of the students when they're doing that because they want to protect the university and the university's integrity and their big bag of money that seems to be rapidly declining. So I think that, you know, yes, I do agree with everybody that there should be some degrees and, you know, more thought put into this. They're basically just covering their butt, and it makes a lot of sense. So that's why I'm going to motion to end discussion.
Yeah, the speaker's list is exhausted anyway. So thank you all. ASA will send out an email of the time and location of the meeting, and hopefully we'll see a good man of you there. Under new business, we have Resolution 33. It's not on the agenda.
Where's McKeel? Is he here?
Okay, well, I'll start. Yeah, Staffing Committee. Sponsors are Representative Kumar and D.P. Miller. This is a charter change, so it's new business only. Questions only? Yes.
We were discussing as far as Mr. Lansing for tomorrow's meeting. I mean, we all understand that basic sentiment is against this resolution, but tomorrow is the day that NSA, next week, that last week's NSA voted it down.
Well, this was not a vote, so can we take a sense of body? Hold on Resolution 33. We'll take a sense of body through a hand vote. So just for whoever, if you're in favor, raise your hand. No, because we've been discussing how there are flaws with this. So raise your hand if you are against how this current resolution stands right now, if you have fundamental issues and you're against the UA passing this. All opposed to that idea? One. Abstentions?
15.
Oh, okay. So 15-1-0.
21.
15-1-1 for you guys. Okay, thanks. Resolution 33.
So, I have my So the staffing committee, for one, it was real pain to try the staff committee because the office of the assembly didn't like to play exactly by the book, so I had to explain what the staffing committee was. It really wasn't a formal instruction committee. I went around to each committee chair and had to read the binder of applications that I got, but it really wasn't even one. And at one point, the staffing committee consisted of Rebecca Stein and you know it was with collating and stuff and paper in there. So this just kind of formally says what the staff committee is. It makes a lot of easy staff. That way we can say, you know, to the office, and yes, we had a formal meeting of the committee chair. Yes, they formally given me to go ahead and staff people. We can get their letters out quicker. We can get the website updated faster. We can get the ad in the list quicker.
it doesn't make a psychological difference, and secondly,
great, thank you. Any questions? See, Liaison Miller?
Yeah, I think just streamlining the process. So the team of students was the original one happening. I think the SA charter, just the way that somebody being responsible for someone's internal operations. So, we're trying to keep everything streamlined. Yeah, of course, I believe that he was just an execution member of the system that we ran. And, he's able to advise us at this point.
Any other? Speaker's list is exhausted. All right, we'll see this on Vince of the Day next week. This meeting is adjourned.
That's fun.
Yeah, get home time.
We should go watch.
You get my essay, Ryan.
Yeah, holy crap. Send me 64 texts.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.